We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
OMF on EEI.
This game has been tied 11 times, 16 lead changes. Pritchard.
Oh, to Williams. Terrific dish
from the rookie to the big man. Kawhi Leonard just before tip-off. Next passage.
Oh, big finish.
Time Lord can throw it down. Celtics are up by five. Clippers have to work quickly here with Jackson. 16 seconds left. Taking a lot of time. Jackson swinging. Open look. Paul George drains the three. 114 to 112 with 10.9 on the clock. Brad Stevens takes out Robert Williams because of his free throw shooting. Tice comes in and immediately gets fouled. He can make this a two possession game. He's got it. The Boston Celtics have won three in a row to get over the 500 mark.
Hey, Brad.
Gary, the two things that they've done is they've stayed together when they easily could have been pulled apart by the noise. And then the second thing is we've slept in our bed for like five straight days. You know, we're fresher.
All right, so can we pull the Green Timbers off the ledge right now? Is everybody feeling good right now? Three wins in a row. They're back,
well,
right?
The Celtics are back, right? I do think we should kind of take some time, boys, and you know, and reevaluate the situation. I feel like there was a big dust up last week, and a lot of people got emotionally charged and kind of made some knee jerk reactions, some emotional knee jerk reaction. Well, I'll start with you because I feel like change your ways. Maybe apologize for your crazy thinking. Right? You decided to storm the Capitol.
What were you thinking? Apology of the day today? I have to do that?
Yeah, you stormed the Capitol because you got caught up in the hullabaloo.
Want you guys to say you're sorry.
Yeah,
including Tyler to Kemba Walker. I want you to apologize to him for the way you guys spoke of him the last, I don't know, week or so.
Okay, I think a week ago I said that Kemba Walker was a problem for the Boston Celtics.
The
that they
problem.
Needed him. Well, he was part of it. I agree with you with Ainge in the roster, and I agree with some of the other stuff. But Kemba is a problem right now in that he needs to be a consistent third scorer on this team. So he's had a few good games here, and he's had some time apparently to maybe heal a little bit. But I need to see it over a long period of time because I've seen this before. I've seen this act where he's come back. He's played a little.
When have you seen this act before?
What's that?
Are you saying last year? We said it earlier this year, too.
He came back. He played well for a little bit.
But when you look at it, okay, so because I feel like the knee injury, the health aspect should really be reconsidered on your part.
Why?
Well, let me explain real quick. So when you look at it, the Celtics have played 35 games. He wasn't even active until the 12th game of the season. So his first game was the 12th game, which was, January 17th. And the season started December 23rd when they played against Milwaukee. So I sit there and go, okay, so then he has four games in a row, has a break, three games in a row, has another break, four games in a row, break. So he's going through this up and down, you know, getting acquainted, getting his legs back, you know, having confidence. I mean, he's shooting all over the place. He's shooting good. He's shooting bad. Now you have three games in a row, Glenn. Games 33, 34, and 35, where the dude is averaging like 26 points. I think you should take into account your evaluation of him, his just this long-term getting his feet under him again.
Why?
So the evaluation that you were making, I think it was a little bit clouded. How about that?
I actually think this was a chronic problem that dates back to when he was in Charlotte.
Well, no, but I'm not disagreeing.
I'm
not disagreeing with the obviously
he's got
the
history
problem was granted.
Problem.
Yes. But now, moving forward, can you kind of look at his season so far and make obvious excuses for him based on just he's only played in 19 games.
The reason I said it was a problem, because I've already said this and I argued this with you guys last year in the playoffs. I don't think he's a great playoff player because he's undersized and the game changes when you get into the postseason. It's more physical, more defensive. He has trouble getting into the lane and he can't defend. So all of that plays into it. But setting that aside, the reason I think he is an issue with him is because he has a chronic injury here, a chronic problem with the knee. And I'm not sure that's going to correct itself. So I'd like to see this over a long period of time because it hasn't. He has not been able to sustain, you know, playing time for a long period of time.
Well, this year,
that concerns me.
Since he's come back, he's only sat in back-to-back games. That's it. And that's just more of a strategy. I think it was Danny even last week said that, you know, he could probably play back-to-backs. We're just not going to do it right now.
Those have been his best games, the games that where he has taken time off.
Yeah, well, he misses a game, he comes back, he's been outstanding.
Exactly.
Last night was his third in a row, and he was outstanding. So I don't think Kemba is your problem. I don't think he, you know, obviously he had some nights where he didn't shoot the ball very well, and I think it talks about how important he is with the way this roster was put together. You know, with no Gordon Hayward or no third score, he has to be that third score to go with the kids every single night. But I felt like it was Kemba's done. Like Kemba can't shoot anymore. Like he's not, his knee is bothering him too much to shoot. And I don't think he forgets how to shoot. And he's kind of showing here recently with the stretch that he's on is that he's still the same score. Of course, he's a defensive. Well, you talk about defensive liability in the playoffs. Yeah. He is. So isn't Kyrie.
Yeah.
So isn't James Harden. Well, I mean, you know, you've got guys like Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown that can defend. Maybe you don't switch as much when it comes to Kemba Walker. That would be interesting.
Yeah. So because
if you keep Jaylen and Marcus on the scorers rather than allowing a switch all the time to get to Kemba Walker.
See, I'm with you. Like going back and reevaluating the situation, looking at like so he's been. You know, the season started December 23rd. There's been a ton of time. And you go, wow, well, he should be better by now. Well, he didn't start off the season, missed a bunch of games. Then he had to slowly kind of get back in the mix. He was on a minutes restriction, kind of had to find his feet. Then he had to just get some confidence. And it looks like he has it. Now, sure, he'll have some dog days. He'll have some games where he just can't find the rim and he can't make his shots. But Chris Mannix came on this show and said, shooters don't forget how to shoot.
Yeah, I agree.
So I guess now you're up, Tyler. You're up. Would you like to apologize for, really, you had the most egregious comment out of all of us, really? Like, you, of all people, basketball guy, Indiana Hoosier guy, saying that Peyton Pritchard should take his minutes?
Well, when I said that Peyton was playing much, much better than Kemba Walker was, and Kemba has been playing much better, but I'm not trying to be a prisoner of the moment now and say that because he's playing better, I'm buying into Kemba for the rest of the season. Like Glenn is, I need to see more. Because if you look at Kemba's career stats versus now, his like career three-point shooting number is 36%. That's where he's at now. So like he struggled to start the year. He's been hot, but he's exactly what he's been for his entire career. So,
which is you'll take that.
It's not great. It's not really all that efficient. He's never been an efficient scorer. He's been doing it now more so the past like 10 games than he really has his entire career in terms of efficiency.
I think
I'm not buying Kemba Walker for the rest of the season, if that's what your question is.
Yeah, I think
you
a bigger problem just, taking the ball to the hole, guys.
You get a chance to kind of reset.
Can I translate for Tyler?
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Thank you, Connor. I appreciate that.
See, you learn from listening to Glenn too much.
I'm just real quick. Look at his last 12 games. You know, he came back and again, you know, the first four, and then he had that night off, and the next three, he has legs underneath him. His last 12 games in the last month, he's averaging 21 points a game, shooting 40% from three. And I don't know if that's not enough. Then it'll never be enough.
But he's been up and down during that period of time. It hasn't been constant. So he's had nights when he's been very good.
Who is constant?
Yeah.
Look at Jason Tatum. Has he been constant?
He's a lot more constant.
But in that 12 game span, I'm telling you, he's had three bad shooting nights. And I think when it's all said and done, 21 points, an average is an average. 21 points, which means he's had nights like he did last night, 25, 32, 28, you know, and he's shooting 40%. So on a night when I sit there, if I tell you, he went 1-for-12 from three against New Orleans, 1-for-12 from three, and over 12 games during that stretch, he's still shooting 40%.
All right, does anybody want to apologize for saying the bench stinks?
Nope.
Because it still stinks.
Nope.
I do think they're never going to be great, though. Like, they're never, but I do think they're just too young. But I do think they are, I think their roles are being identified a little bit better.
Well, he shortened the rotation.
Yeah.
Certainly did last night. And most of the minutes out of the rotation are really being played at the center position, because you got 21 out of Thompson. You got Daniel Tice played 25. And you got Rob Williams, who I thought was the difference in the game, certainly early on in the fourth quarter, the way he was rebounding, the way he was scoring around the rim. That was where they were getting their offense. He had 22 minutes. But you only got 13 out of Teague. He gave you nothing. Pritchett was the best guy off the bench, and Ojale gave you 28 minutes.
No, it's Pritchett, Ojale, Robert Williams.
And Grant Williams is out of the rotation.
Yeah, occasionally Grant Williams will see the floor. Javonte Green, Nesmith has been out of the equation. It was like they
Taco.
Gave him like
he's
a
sitting with Taco.
It's like they gave him like a 3 or 4 game, you know, watch. We're like, wow, he's in this rotation. He's sixth man, and all of a sudden now, nope, not anymore.
Yeah,
but
Javonte
Pritchett
Green for a while.
Pritchett is what he is. Like, I think Pritchard's probably your best scorer on the bench.
And what about
which I think tells Danny Ainge he's got serious problems.
So what about Teague? What about Jeff Teague? I mean, here's a guy that was in the doghouse, constantly, you know, just not active, and now recently. And he was averaging 10 points per game.
I don't want to see
20
him.
Minutes in the last 4 games.
He won't play when Marcus Smart comes back.
I don't want to see him.
So he I feel the same about him as I did last week.
Yeah. When Marcus Smart comes back, you need a body at that spot. And he clearly has no trust in guys like Carson Edwards, who won one game for them this year, and that was about it, or Tremont Waters. I mean, what it comes down to is that Teague is only out of there because they need him. They need somebody to play 13 minutes at that position. But I think once Marcus Smart comes back, I don't know what the need for Jeff Teague would be.
Robert Williams is the guy. And I know Brad talked about his hip and watching his minutes, and he's like 20, 21 minutes sometimes.
That's where they
play him. Yeah. And I don't know, 21. I'd like to see that go up to about 27. I like to wonder why he's not starting. You know, as far as upside goes, I mean, if it's like if you're looking for it, isn't he the guy? You know, he can defend the rim. You know, we talk about the alley-oops, whatever the hell you want to call them, you know, to the basket.
It's the best thing he does.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's the best thing
he does. So you're getting production out of this guy, and it's like, okay, I'm ready to see more of him. Give me five, six more minutes of him.
Yeah, so there was a lot of overreaction, I thought, based on how bad everybody was playing. So
but we're overreacting
Kemba,
today.
No, I think we're trying to.
I don't think so.
Reset. Sure, yeah. I think, okay, so you've had the overreaction.
Three home games.
Okay, so how about this one? Can they close out games now? Do you trust them?
No.
In tight games, 3 minutes left?
No.
One possession, two possession difference? You trust them now?
No, they were able to close out a game last night because the Clippers found out moments before the game tipped off that Kawhi Leonard couldn't go, and then they lost Marcus Morris in the second quarter to concussion. And so that game went out the window. And the Clippers, I think, are the worst team in the league in clutch situations in the last 3 or 4 minutes. And I think Paul George is the worst individual player in the league, and he did it again last night.
Well, I would even say the night before that game with Bradley Beal, like, stepping out of bounds. Like, that wasn't – you didn't really close – sure, you played good defense, but
yeah,
it was
did.
More of a terrible offensive possession by them.
It doesn't matter.
It's like something like rookies do.
It
like
doesn't matter.
Not like a veteran in the NBA stepping out of bounds.
They have closed out 3 games in a row, and you haven't seen that from them. So I'm not ready to say they're the best team in the league closing out games. But I know one thing. If they lost 2 of these last 3, we'd be continuing to crush them for not being able to close out games.
Yeah, I'm not overreacting.
I'm just saying if they didn't close, if they lost 2 of these games, if they lost that Washington game, or if they lost this game last night, we'd be killing them.
See, the biggest
so now that they close out 3 games in a row, yeah. We're like, it's not enough. Well, I mean, you can't do it for a month if you don't do it for 4 games.
Yeah, but you've got to see it over a 10 or 15 game
I know, but
period.
you can't see it over 10 or 15 games if you don't do it for 3. You know what I mean? You say you want to see him go on a 10-game run. Well,
I would
you can't have a 10-game run unless you win 3 straight. So, I mean, it's you keep pushing it forward. It's like it's just okay. But, I mean, you know, if you're starting to see it now, then I think you should feel better about it. I'm not saying that they've proven anything, but it's better than not finishing out games.
Well, there's no question you're going to feel better than you did, you know, a week ago when they couldn't win a game. But the Cleveland Cavaliers are on a 4-game winning streak right now. I'm not going to sit and tell you that they're ready to emerge and suddenly become, you know, an interesting team or whatever. I think we have to see it over a longer period of time. When they were the 9th or 10th seed, I don't think anybody thought they were going to end up as the 9th or 10th seed. They, but are they ready now to knock on the door of the Brooklyn Nets, the Philadelphia 76ers, or the Milwaukee Bucks?
All I want them to do, and I think they have a good opportunity to do it here, in the next 2 or 3 weeks going into the deadline. Because I look at it as a tough couple of games. I know they got Brooklyn, they got Utah. But there's, Houston's involved there. Sacramento's going to be there. Orlando, Toronto, who's missing a whole bunch of guys. Cleveland. They got an opportunity to do exactly what they need to do. And that's, say, 7-2 going into the break, forcing Danny Ainge to not
going
give up.
Going into the trading deadline.
Going into the deadline, yeah.
All right.
Forcing Danny Ainge not to give up on this team.
Yeah.
Do something, Danny. Give the guys a freaking break.
And they should beat Toronto tomorrow because Toronto is playing tonight and they're without, I think, 5 or 6 of their players, including their coaching staff. And I'm not sure it's going to get a hell of a lot better by tomorrow. So, and they're missing all their best players.
So it got so bad last week. It got so bad that even Glenn Ordway, who coined the phrase cute little team.
Yep.
You didn't even think they were cute last week.
They were ugly.
They were an ugly dog. You wanted nothing to do with them. Okay, so here, listen, here's your chance. Are they back to being a cute little team?
Yeah, that's a 4th seed, a 5th seed, or 6th seed.
So I think we're right back where we started.
The New York Knicks are a cute little team. They're number 5 right now.
They're not your cute little team.
They're half a game behind.
So we're right back where we started.
Yeah, see, I think the definition more of a cute little team is like 2 or 3 seed that you just don't think can win a championship. I don't think it's a 4 or 5 seed
that can't win.
Well, yeah, then that's, I mean, well, I think the 2 seed, I don't think that's even cute.
I think the 2 seed in the East can win a championship. The Brooklyn Nets, I think they can win a championship. Yes. And the Bucks, I would say, I'm kind of disappointed in them. I think they have some issues, but they've had some health problems. And then you got the Sixers, who have the best record in the league. But the West is so much better than the East, guys. I mean,
well, I feel like we've accomplished something so far. It's almost like we won one big giant circle, and so we're right back where we started.
I think there's one more apology you guys should be addressing here.
What?
There was a Celtics writer back on February 17th with the headline, 8 reasons panicking about the Celtics is unnecessary.
Who's that clown?
And I believe you told that clown that he was a green teamer and leading the Celtics bandwagon.
Who was that guy?
That was me.
That was me. I'm sorry.
Would you like to address?
Yeah, but then they lost 3 straight and you wrote the article, right. It's time to panic.
Right.
So
now, you go either way. I mean,
That's a rich comment from you.
Whiplash. Wham!
You go either way. Hey, hello, pot, meat kettle.
But I think Lou's hit on something, and I just don't believe that Danny Ainge is going to pull the trigger and make that big, huge deal. Matter of fact, I would bet you anything that some of those other teams, it would not surprise me if the Philadelphia 76ers end up with Kyle Lowry or something like that. I think those other teams may look at it and make a big deal. I think Danny will add something, but I don't think it's going to be for the big trade exception. It'll be something small that'll add maybe a veteran shooter.
See, that's
the
frustrating
bench thing
for me, yeah, is because he set this team up to look exactly like they are. To only come out and say they're not worthy or it's not worth it to use it. And we get all excited about this TPE that he can use and improve this team. And at the trade deadline, ooh, watch out. Celtics kind of do their thing with Jaylen and Tatum and Kemba and Marcus Smart and just sort of sit there as like that 4th seed. But when he uses that TP at the deadline, heads up. And Danny set this team up to look exactly like they are. Absolutely top heavy. No depth whatsoever. With a condensed schedule, he's wearing out these guys left and right. And now he's going to just hide behind, well, I don't know if now's the time. He did it to this team. He's the reason why they look the way they look. And now he's not going to give him anything to help.
I just think it's very difficult when you have the trade exception.
Yeah, especially if you want to bury everybody.
Right, and you don't have the great assets. And in many instances, you're using a third team to make that deal. I saw ESPN broke down 5 big trades we want to see them make at the deadline. And one of them was Kyle Lowry going to Philadelphia. There have been a lot of rumors out of there. Toronto's got to do something. They're going nowhere. And I think a big part of what happened to them is they're playing out of their city. They're playing in Tampa Bay. And now you get the COVID. They're a mess. And Brooklyn getting J.J. Redick is another one. Now you add J.J. Redick onto that Brooklyn Nets team. You're going to get Kevin Durant back in the next couple of weeks. Good night. See you later, right?
Well, I didn't think we landed J.J. Redick. I thought he was a bum.
Well, he's better. He's been much better in the last few weeks.
But he can't
defend. He can't defend at all. A lick, and that's what a lot of people say, that Brad Stevens forces you to play some defense out there.
Well, I just think it's interesting that nobody wanted him here, but now if he goes to Brooklyn, it's going to be like, oh, game over.
Well, I think when you look at who's going to spend time defending him when you got the three other guys you've got to defend, right?
Well, no, it's the other side of the ball. Yeah. I want to get to Jaylen Brown.
Go ahead.
Because this is kind of pissing me off a little bit. So Jaylen Brown is going to be doing the three-point contest. That will be prior to the All-Star weekend down in Atlanta, prior to the game. During the game, in the middle of the game, they're going to do the slam dunk contest. But Jaylen Brown, who I guess was all excited about, I think it was Gary Washburn asked a question, talked about why he didn't want to do the slam dunk contest and why he's doing the three-point contest.
Dunk contest would have been great if I could have done it. I don't think my body is agreeing with me right now in terms of that, but that's something that I was looking to do, but I don't think it's going to work out that way. But they asked me to participate in the three-point contest, and I said, yeah, why the hell not? You should have asked me a long time ago.
Well, first off, you didn't deserve it a long time ago to be in a three-point contest. He's not one of the best three-point
shooters. I was wondering
shooters.
Why they didn't ask me to play in it.
Does anybody bother anybody that his body's not well enough to do a slam dunk contest? And he missed a game the other night, and here we are, and could take a nice 6 days off to kind of recoup and get his body right, but he's insisting on playing in this game?
That's the NBA.
Well, it doesn't make it right.
The NBA is just filled with hypocrisy when it comes to this stupid All-Star game. And I would say it's really not Jaylen Brown's fault. It's every player that's ever played in this game that had a similar issue. Like, how about Kyrie Irving? Let's use him as an example.
How about Kemba last year?
How about Kemba Walker? Another guy that was hurt. It just amazes me that the coaches and the owners and the GMs actually allow it. So the guy says, I can't play in this game. Why? Well, I got the All-Star game in a couple days. I got to be able to play in that. It's like a glorified game of horse. So you're going to sit in one of the regular season games that could make the difference from us as far as seeding goes, which is important, because you want to be healthy and ready for this. But you're talking about fatigue, heavy legs, tendonitis. What are you doing? Well, it's like I kind of have to do it. What do you want me to say? No?
Well, you just brought it up with Kemba last year, with Kyrie the year before, when he sat out games and then showed up at the All-Star game. The teams don't have the balls to stand up to an NBA player and say, you're not doing a benefit and helping our team right now. And the player just basically says, I don't give a rat's ass. I care about going to the All-Star game because I'm one of the best players in the league, and I want to be with those other guys. It's a huge honor. They all want the camaraderie back and forth, playing out there on the floor. And that's what Jaylen Brown, and this is his first, this is the first All-Star game for him. There's no way he's going to miss this thing.
Happy for him. I actually believe he deserves it. I know some people, for some reason, don't.
He does
I think he deserves to be
he
there.
Does.
I think he
Absolutely.
Deserves to be an All-Star. I think he should be in sweats or some kind of outfit. And
same.
He should be watching the three-point contest, watching the game, and watching the dunk contest. Because that sound was bad. This sound here, talking about how you got to be careful over the weekend, is worse.
My most important focus is, making the push, making the run, and playing in the playoffs and deep into the playoffs. That's what my focus has been. I like to win. I like to be on winning teams. So to add to winning, you got to sometimes make sacrifices. So for me, I think, being in a dunk contest wasn't the best decision for me and my body at the time. Right now, it's an All-Star game is in my hometown, and it's in Atlanta. As much as I like to, would have liked to participate, it just didn't work out this time. So my eyes is, down the stretch and getting 100% healthy, which I haven't been for a while, trying to continue to get better. So when it comes time for my team to need me, I'm there and I'm 100%.
Oh, my God. What is he talking about?
Lou, the floor is yours.
What is he talking about? He's saying how his goal is to be 100% and win games and to go deep into the playoffs.
But
I got to be 100%, and admits that his body hasn't felt good in a while, and he wants to be 100%.
But the All-Star game is in his hometown, Lou.
Do you think rather than taking 6 games off, 6 days off, and being actually ready to do exactly what he's talking about is a better idea than going down there, getting treatment on his knee, getting heat, getting stim, getting ice, getting it ready for a stupid pickup game? That if he's really true to his words, that he wouldn't play? That was a bunch of crap right there. A complete bunch of crap
no,
right
of
there
it,
from Jaylen Brown.
If you're looking at what's best for the Boston Celtics, It would be best, as you said, if he stayed around here for 6 days, got tons of treatment over in that, facility that they have, which is phenomenal. And it would make all the sense in the world for him to do that. But he wants to be at that All-Star game.
Again, I just don't see it.
And you can't. So this is what players want now.
So the real sacrifice isn't, pushing ahead, looking at the second half of the season. The real sacrifice is just the dunk contest.
You want to do the dunk contest, the three-point contest, and the All-Star game. You want to do it all. It's Atlanta. Yeah.
But he's not going to do the dunk contest because the three-point contest, fine. That's easy.
I would skip dunk contest. I don't think that's easy. I disagree with you.
Tell me, what is so difficult?
You're under a gun. You got to fire all the shots.
You're under a gun.
Off.
You got to. Yeah. Okay. Fine. You're taking the ball off a rack and you're shooting it. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a dunk contest where you're actually.
The dunk is more strenuous. I'm not knocking that. What I would prefer him do is, I understand he's a first-time All-Star. He wants to be in the All-Star game. Fine, you go to the All-Star game. You sit down with your coach, Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens calls Doc Rivers and says, can you limit my guy to 5 or 6 minutes? And you let Jalen understand you're going to play 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, just like Kemba last year when they had minute restrictions on Kemba Walker. Right. He ended up playing 29 games. And because of that, he missed the next five coming out of the All-Star break. He went over his limit and just said, well, it got real competitive. I wanted to stay in the game. So you had a minute restrictions last year on Kemba Walker. He blew right through it. But you know what? Hey, it was a very competitive game, a lot of fun. That pickup game was so much fun. I missed the next five games of the regular season. Five. And which led me to having an awful stretch the last 10 games, that I had. And then luckily for him, COVID hit, because he would have missed the playoffs. He would have missed the rest of the season, would have missed the playoffs. As we found out, he wasn't even ready to resume basketball activity when the bubble started up.
There you go, positive with COVID. Listen, I wish he weren't doing the three-point competition. 5 minutes in the game, and that's it, because it's an exhibition game. You're not going to get there's not going to be too strenuous out there, and that's it. But I think we're all going to be wrong. He's going to play a lot more. I saw that Luka Doncic is not playing tonight against OKC. Apparently, he's got a back issue, all right? Yet, he's already said, when they asked him, are you playing in the All-Star game Sunday? Oh, I'm definitely playing in the All-Star game.
Yeah, see, that would just make me irate if I was a coach. So, you're not good enough to play in a game that matters, but you're willing to do the... imagine if this was the NFL, and they're... or even Major League Baseball, which it's not as strenuous, but still... here comes the All-Star game, the Pro Bowl. It's midway through the season, halfway point. And then you've been dealing with tendonitis. You've been dealing with a knee, an ankle, shoulder, broken ribs. And say, you know what? I got to play in this Pro Bowl. The mentality is so different. An NFL football player would never do that, ever. Yet here we are, guys that aren't playing, that are hurt, line them up.
Yeah.
It's just the way they are.
So isn't this funny, though, when the commissioner first came up with the idea that we are definitely going to do an All-Star game. Do you remember all the players said, what are you kidding me? Can't do an All-Star game. What are we doing? This is ridiculous.
By the way, LeBron James, healthy scratch tonight. He will play in the All-Star game.
Again.
It's amazing. I need rest.
It's the NBA.
Coach, hey, I need rest to play in the All-Star game.
It's the NBA.
I can't even wear. I need a job like that.
But do you remember when these guys bitched about it?
I just don't want to talk today because I'm going out to dinner with my wife. I want to save all the good conversation for her.
Oh, good, because we got nothing good for 3.5 hours.
She wants you in here doing radio.
No. She but comes home and says, why do you always argue with me when we get
why
home?
Why do you keep cutting me off? You never let me finish
exactly.
The sentence.
Exactly.
Tyler, I believe LeBron was one of those guys that was bitching about it, was he not? When they first came up with
COVID,
the All-Star game?
Yeah, he was one of them that was loud that said, for the All-Star game and COVID, we can't do it.
LeBron is just a healthy scratch, right?
Correct.
Whatever. You want load management.
Load, yes, exactly. Okay.
Well, they played last night.
It's worse with Luka that's dealing with back spasms to make him miss a game. Or Jaylen Brown, who's been missing games recently. And then, again, I'm just amazed that this kid would sit at the podium and talk about, it's all about winning, this thing and being there for the playoffs. It's all about, my body's not 100% and it hasn't been healthy in a while. He's talking about making sacrifices. It almost sounded like a guy that was about to bow out of the whole weekend itself. Just take the acknowledgement. Thank you very much. I am an All-Star.
So
fine, that counts for my contract moving forward, whatever. I get this, I get that, great. But I got to make sacrifices because the most important thing is winning games for the Celtics. I'm going to just be a spectator this weekend, go home, see some family.
So what he omitted and didn't tell you, and I agree with you, it's so disingenuous when you start hearing that. What he didn't tell you is the truth, and that is I've made an NBA All-Star game, something I've dreamed about my entire life. There is no freaking way I am missing this game. I am going to be there, and it's in my hometown on top of everything else. There's no way I'm missing that game. That's what the true honesty is there. And the sacrifice was I'll give up the slam dunk contest, but I want to be in the three-point competition, and I want to go to the parties, and I want to do other things as well. That's what he's telling you pretty much. All right, 617-779-7937. Tommy Curran says that Bill Belichick should not be drafting one of those quarterbacks early. We'll see what Lou Maloney thinks about that, because that is Lou's game plan all along. We'll do that and more coming up next right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Follow him on Twitter at Christian Fourier.
I heard you hate old people and puppies. No, just puppies. Hate puppies.
It's OMF on WEEI.
He's playing tonight over at the TD Garden, Christian. This is him.
Yep. Who the hell is this?
What is this?
This is not
I heard that Charo's going to be at the Garden.
It's Charo.
Tonight. Yeah, Charo, the big hit from 1974.
We'll revisit that Friday. Yeah, yeah. You know you can eat there, Lou Maloney.
She was obnoxious.
That's not her most famous song, though. Like, she was, like, on every, you know, midday game show.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was her tagline was, like, coochie, coochie, coo, right?
Obnoxious.
Isn't that what it was?
She was just obnoxious.
That's what it was.
I don't know. You're the one that confused Charo with Zdeno Chara during Trending just now.
Same. What's the difference? He's my guy. We have an understanding.
6'9" hockey player, and the other one is...
yeah, A-E-I-O-U. Tune in at Friday at 5:50.
All right, so other than that, Christian also gave us some more good news. There's another tight end available on the market right now. The Saints have officially released tight end Jared Cook. And so it's Kyle Rudolph and it's Jared Cook. So you already have two tight ends that are much better than anything they have right now on their depth chart. I got to believe they're going to be interested, no?
Yeah, well, let me give you another one. Delanie Walker.
Good.
He sat out the entire season last year. He opted out. I guess a lot of his body, you know, he's been hurt a little bit, but he's expected to come back here in 2021. And this is kind of where they should be living, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they
second tier guys.
Yeah, Hunter Henry, you know, that contract mm-hmm. probably doesn't fit. And like I said, at some point, you got to believe in the guys you've drafted. He took two tight ends in the third round. Asiasi should be able to catch the football, unless it's another epic failure in the draft. So you go and you get a Kyle Rudolph, or you get a Jared Cook, or you get a Delanie Walker, or, you know, you go down that depth chart and sort of maybe leave Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith and spend more money elsewhere. Bring these guys in for a year.
I think the guy that makes the most sense as far as what they're willing to do is Delanie Walker. It's not Kyle Rudolph. I mean, Kyle Rudolph also, but in order, Delanie Walker takes a year off, gets released by the Titans,
mm-hmm.
decides not to play because of COVID. Doesn't mean entertain it. So he's rested. He's healthy. Older, veteran, former captain.
Cheaper.
Oh my. Wait, no bonus.
Cheaper.
Come into the building. You're going to get a veteran minimum. No incentives whatsoever.
Right.
We may throw you a dime here and there, but you come, you show us you can play, and we want to make sure we can cut you at any point in time. And when we cut you, we know we're going to have to pay you the rest of your salary. So we want to make sure it is a veteran minimum. I will also say this. There's so many different ways they can keep these older guys. They get a guy like Delanie Walker. He doesn't play in the first game of the season. Therefore, then they bring him back the second week. His contract is not guaranteed.
Yep.
So a guy that wants to be there, he doesn't want to leave. You want his presence in the locker room. You don't want him to be committed to the salary. So, yeah, I mean,
good point.
The options are starting to kind of come together. Like, realistically, I think Kyle Rudolph is a great option.
Yeah.
31 years old, going to be 32. It's a two-year deal. Maybe it's even a one-year deal.
Jared Cook's the best player, though, right?
I mean, you wanted him before, so we already know you liked him.
Yeah.
So I got to believe that Bill Belichick is salivating over the opportunities that are going to exist, mainly because they've dropped the ceiling on the cap, and there are going to be a bunch of these guys available. I think you're right, Lou. I still don't think he's going to necessarily go for the top-tier guys. He's going to go for all of these other guys that could be damn good with the New England Patriots next year, but are also going to allow him to get a zillion of these guys because they're cheap.
So this text from Diana Rossini is interesting. So she says, you know, hey, just got a text from an NFL coach about the upcoming cuts and what he expects. Quote, it's going to be a massacre next week all around the league.
It is.
Starting to see it.
Yep.
Well, I would say that this is why I think that, you know, Bill can go out and spend, you know, top dollar on free agents. Because I think more defensively, because offensively, we mentioned it, the top three free wide receiver free agents are probably going to get franchise tagged. So I don't see him like going crazy and overpaying for Juju. I think Juju is going to have to pick where he wants to go.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, Green Bay might call him up and say, "We're done with all this mess next to Devontae. Would you like to play next to Devontae Adams or Arizona? You want to play next to DeAndre Hopkins?" So it's like the next three wide receivers. So I don't see him overpaying for wide receivers. I don't see him overpaying for tight ends, but I could see him bringing in guys like Rudolph, guys like Delanie Walker, and then bottom of that list of wide receiver options, like the seventh, eighth, ninth guys in that wide receiving grouping. So where does he spend it? He spends it on that edge rusher. He spends it on that defensive tackle. He spends it on that linebacker. Because I just wonder some of these middle-of-the-road free agent weapons, if the money is not going to be outrageous from New England, which it won't be because they won't overpay for that kind of level of a player, they're going to be looking for the best situation. They're going to be looking for the best quarterback. You know, they're going to be looking for whatever, like just the best offense to go to, and I'm not sure you could sell them on that yet.
Well, I think we've been saying this all along, that if you're ever going to have a year in which you have an awful lot of money and you still play on a value system, and I don't think he's going to change his ways, this is the perfect year to do it, and we're already starting to see it, and we really haven't seen the purge yet. I think the purge is coming, as Diane Rossini said, next week. That's when it's coming. This is going to be exactly what Bill Belichick is looking for.
Yeah.
So your buddy Jeff Ho, put together what he's ranking the Patriots free agents. So he's got number one, Joe Tooney. Do we believe Joe Tooney's going to be here next year?
I do not think he's going to be here.
Okay.
Because I think a win you has a lot to do with that.
Yes, because that's a sixth-round draft pick, at cheap dollars. Now, the number two guy, nobody's talking about him, and that is David Andrews. They need David Andrews, do they not?
Well, I think that's the discussion. I think Tooney is probably gone, but you need to bring back David Andrews when you do talk about him. I think people are talking about Andrews. Is Tooney and Andrews. I think you need him to bring him back. I think Tooney's a guy that you already franchised, so you know what money he's looking for. But Andrews is a guy you bring back.
Yeah, what does he go up to next year, Tooney? He goes up to $17 million? $17.7 million is the tag if you want to bring Tooney back. They're not doing that. So David Andrews, we all agree. Number three on his list is J.C. Jackson. But that's easy because all they have to do is throw that tender out there, and they may be able to get away with a second round tender.
Yeah.
That's
no, restricted free agent, yeah, he's going to stay, and yeah. I feel like that's going to be worth the money. He's earned it. He'll get a good tender number, decent tender number, and then they'll have issues next year. Then you'll get to see if what he did last year with all those interceptions was just a fluke, or is he actually a really good shutdown corner.
All right, number four on his list is Adam Butler. I would agree. He's had a really good season last year. And they need Adam Butler. But how much is Adam Butler going to get in that open market out there? There are so many guys out there, guys that you have on your team right now that might have had a good year and have moved themselves up a little bit, but they're still not on the top echelon. How much money are they going to get in the open market?
Well, I mean, I would assume that all the numbers are going to come down, right?
I would think so. I take that back. Wouldn't you say the top players, the real at each position, are going to make big money? Because those guys,
but they always do.
Yeah, right.
They always do. But then there's the middle class.
The middle class is going to get hurt.
Yeah, and I would say, and usually the middle class usually means guys like Kyle Rudolph, guys like Delanie Walker, older players that made a lot of money and suddenly are like, wow, they're pushing me out. I'm 32 years old. I'm 33 years old. Those guys seem to be squeezed out the most.
So he writes here, however, players with his skill, talking about Butler, set typically land contracts in the neighborhood of $10 million per year. So Butler is another one whose market will be interesting in a cap-strapped offseason. So again, value for Bill Belichick. He may be able to get him well below that $10 million per year.
It's funny because you're looking for a guy, you know, pass rusher or whatever. Just you need help there. And then here you have, like, Adam Butler. The next guy is Lawrence Guy. And I think a lot of people talk about Lawrence Guy, but nobody sits there and says, you got to bring back Adam Butler, in my opinion, and it's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he was there and he had his moments, but I don't know. Is that somebody that you said, okay, if you bring back Butler and Lawrence Guy, you're good?
No,
Same two guys that were there last year, you're like, huh?
So how about Guy's Malcolm good. Brown? Malcolm Brown's another guy who played for the Saints. You drafted him, and he's available.
He had a first-round grade on him. Right? Drafted him first round.
He does. But, I mean, there's a guy. So, like, all these guys that are, I mean, you sit there and go, wow, you're going to have a lot to choose from.
See, here's what I like in Jeff Howe's top 10 free agents of the current of the Patriots right now, most important guys. At number 10, he's got Cam Newton. Greg Rosenthal as Cam Newton is the 26th best free agent. Jeff Howe is him as the 10th most important on the Patriots.
On this team, right?
On the team. 10th most important on the Patriots. Greg Rosenthal is the 26th most important free agent in all of football.
See, Rosenthal, even though he's from Western Mass and he says he watches every game, I don't really feel like he watches every game.
He doesn't understand
every single game. Or he's just enamored by him. And Jeff Howe, who probably has the ability to see through all the bull crap.
I think he's an accountability partner. I think he's an accountability partner. Sometimes if you're an accountability
partner, he's part of the
partner,
team. Hashtag you rate accountability. Him a little
higher. Exactly. So Lawrence Guy is number five. Jason McCourty is number six. Okay.
But I think he'll be gone.
I think he was overpaid, and the best thing he's got going for him is really his brother, and they may look at
vouching
it and say,
for him.
Right.
For a package deal.
Exactly. It may be worth it for us to keep him around. Justin Bethel, obviously special teams along with Slater.
He will
Slater.
Be the first player that Bill re-signs.
I think you're right.
I know. The easiest
Am I wrong?
Ones.
He will be.
You're start
it's
either
easy
like Ebner, Bolden,
yeah.
Justin
yeah.
Bethel will be the first guy that he brings back, special team guy.
So this is interesting. Dietrich Wise. Also coming off his best season, Wise faces an intriguing market. Free agency is flooded with edge rushers, so he'll probably have to wait for the dust to settle on some of the premium players, but Wise might do well financially as a passing down specialist in the right system.
Again, another one. Patriots front seven absolutely sucked, but apparently how things, Butler and Dietrich Wise are going to get absolutely paid.
Yeah. Because they have such a good resume. Well, I mean, but
best seasons of their career. Yeah. What'd you think of them?
Okay, how about this?
Wise?
One?
The best seasons of their career. What'd you think? Because we all think that's exactly where they need improvement.
I would say Wise, I don't know. I mean, I think he's a dime a dozen. I mean, no sweat off my back. Butler, I mean, Lawrence Guy to me was the, for a team that needs a solid presence in the middle with a lot of experience. He can get paid. He can get paid.
I just think, Lawrence Guy, Dietrich Wise, Adam Butler, best years of their career.
It'll be the one.
Meanwhile, we all think they desperately need to improve that position because as a group, they weren't good. But all these guys had career years.
Yeah.
All right, this one I think is really intriguing, and that is number 9, running back James White. Two things happened this past year because he had what you'd call a real downside season. One, he had the tragedy to his family, and you wonder how anybody can really deal with something like that. Obviously, it's going to affect you and work.
Then he
and
had
everything
Cam
else.
Thrown to him.
And then he had nobody that they could throw the football to him coming out of the backfield, because if they had somebody, maybe they could have thrown the ball, moved the ball, moved the chains a little bit. To me, he's a guy. What type of value will he have to other teams? That's the thing. With the Patriots and what they do, and if they have an upgraded quarterback, a more accurate thrower, to me, he's valuable to this team.
Yeah, to me, he'll get a modest contract from somebody else, some other team, because those guys are needed. But the days of making, you know, his ceiling type money, I think, are over.
So if you're James White, what are you looking for? Maybe you're looking to retire from the New England Patriots, but aren't you looking for a better offense?
Sure.
Like, you know, I think there's rumors for Green Bay, right? Like, Aaron Jones is a free agent. They got the kid A.J. Dillon out of BC, power running back. You don't think they would sit there and say, okay, A.J. Dillon, James White? Like, you wouldn't go to Green Bay?
I think he's going to have a bunch of options. I do. I think he's going to have a bunch of options, and I don't think the Patriots, well, we'll see, will give him nearly what somebody else is willing to pay him. I still think he's still a really good back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would throw last year out the window. I think you can't look at what happened last year and think he's 29 years old, right? You can't look at it and say that he's going the other direction. Cam Newton, as you mentioned, is number 10
good
on this list. Cody Davis is number 11.
Yeah, we're done after
special
that.
Teamer. We're done. Yeah. I mean, Nick Folk. I mean, you bring him back. They still have all those other guys. They have two other kickers, right?
Yeah. He's the guy that you should sign first.
No, they might.
He's the guy that's out of all those guys. I mean, sure, David Andrews, Tooney, but he's made the biggest jump from what you used to think of him to what he is now. He's made some of the biggest kicks of the year. He's been really consistent, good range, consistency in that, and as far as that point of view goes. But that's the guy. I mean, really, that is the dude that you sign, the freaking kicker.
What's he at? Roar Rosher.
Right? Roar Rosher. Isn't he on the team anymore?
First two free agents, Bethel and Folk.
Didn't they bring in another kicker in?
They brought in a third. They brought in a second.
Roberto Aguayo.
Yeah, Aguayo.
Former second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
We have heard nothing about Rohrwasser. And this was a year.
He got his tattoo removed.
And this was a year in which rookie kickers did well. There were like three or four rookie kickers that had pretty good seasons.
Like, most improved player, biggest surprise, is Nick Folk.
Yes.
Like, that is, as far as like the shining star of the group.
He was dependable.
He was.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I would agree. And the other one that's 18th on the list that we mentioned earlier on the show, John Simon. Where does he fit in?
He doesn't. He's not a starter. He is a sub-situational, give the other guy a break, but he is not a starter. So, I don't think you'll lose any sleep if he goes and plays someplace else.
No, because John Simon's a guy that fits in nice when he's surrounded by great players. Yeah. Like Bill has often done, plugged them guys in. But he didn't have those great players for a guy like Simon to do the little things. He was asked to do too much, and you find out he's just John Simon.
Yeah, just real quick, I know we're going to break for a second, but I wanted to go back to the tight ends before we broke, because like their history is so Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph-ish. When I just, older tight end coming here, and then I just look at the two other ones that stand out to me, Kyle Brady and Algie Crumpler.
Yes.
Algie Crumpler was 33.
Yeah.
And when he played here 1 year, 6 catches.
Yeah, he was the adult in the room.
Yeah. Kyle Brady, 9 catches. He was 35 years old at the time. 1 year, done. We don't really need you to do a lot. We just need you to be around. So the Delanie Walkers of the world, they will have an older tight end like that on this roster. If they don't, it will go against everything they do or have ever done, and I don't think they'll do it.
Well, we've sat here for the last 2 years trying to figure out what the hell they're doing at tight end, though.
And by the way, before we go to break two, the Bruins, sir. You see this on Twitter? They just on Twitter said Charlie Coyle is not playing in tonight's game, COVID-19 protocol. Charlie Coyle will not be playing. Chara's return. Chara's return? Chara's return to the Garden. No fans, coochie. Which kind of sucks.
Coochie.
But it'll be weird tonight watching him at the Garden. I know they've already played him a couple times.
I know. No video.
It's going
to
be strange.
No video. No.
Keep to the videos. No fans.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? They're not doing any video on the screen. Why would you?
They'll
do the
video? Something for.
What are you going to do a video for?
Charlie Coyle.
I mean, it's for a fan appreciation, right? So everybody can tap their sticks, and you can kind of look up into the stick, but there's nobody there.
Okay, boys.
Why does it say he's out at least one game? So if he's on the COVID protocol list, does that mean he came into contact with somebody?
Doesn't mean he has it.
Right. So they're just waiting it out.
Right.
This whole thing's crazy.
He's just going to miss that game. We'll see. I guess Washington comes back here. Yeah, they come back here April. So there'll be plenty of fans. The place will be packed by then.
All right, we got a former NFL running back. He is famous, and I mean he is famous, for basically one thing. Smoked an awful lot of weed. So we got him started. What got him started on marijuana? You will hear it coming up next.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
Oh, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Let's go,
let's get a f***ing in.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
That's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car, donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. You guys all remember Ricky Williams? Remember him?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Didn't really have the career that he probably should have because he was a hell of a running back, but he couldn't get off the weed. Matter of fact, didn't he get up and leave and like move to like Pakistan or India?
Yeah, then he came back and actually had a decent run with the Dolphins.
Yes, he did. And he was in good shape at that time when he came back. So he couldn't stay off the weed. And where did it all start for him? Well, he talked about it on Club Shay Shay. That is Shannon Sharpe's podcast.
I was running for the Heisman and my girlfriend for 2 years. Okay, we broke up. And it's like right after we broke up, I went to her house to bring her stuff back, and your quarterback on the football team's car was parked.
That's what started you smoking for real.
for real.
Your team had the back door. He was handing the ball to you in the front, and then stealing you, tackling you from the back. Oh, my dirty rascal!
That's how it started, and I was like obsessing about this, and my friend was like, "Dude, you gotta chill." And so he just brought it out. He said, "You gotta hit this." And I did, and it was the first time where I was like, okay, I wasn't obsessed, and I wasn't thinking about it. I could sleep and relax. And from that moment, I noticed, okay, this can be helpful to me.
He got to the point where he was just like, listen, I'm just going to smoke it. I'm just going to smoke it. Like it became so obvious that he wasn't or couldn't hide it anymore.
They do tests in the NFL with marijuana once a year, right? Is that right, Christian?
That's my point. Once a year, and you know
when
it's coming.
Don't they tell you when it's coming?
You know.
It didn't make a difference with him, though.
It's like they do you favor. They're like, listen, guys, we're going to test you in about 3 weeks. Hint, hint, get it out of your system. And oh, by the way, it takes about 4 days to get it out of your system.
but I don't think Ricky could. He couldn't avoid that because
he's not the only one, though.
Every single day.
He's not the only one.
Every single day. Hi, Mutt.
You sound like you know from experience. It takes 4 days to get out of the
system.
Never
done it in my life.
Okay, good for you. Congratulations.
I'm more of an edible guy. Anyway.
What's that? Listen.
I'm more of an edible guy.
They're very, drugs, I still do,
very helpful around sleepy time.
Excellent around sleepy time. I accidentally took one during COVID.
Accidentally.
No, no, on the show.
Really?
Yes.
Do you know what show? We can go back and listen to that on demand?
I remember that Glenn was like, what happened to you?
I remember.
The last hour of the show. My wife brought these like fudge, like little... these little treats, and I was like, "Oh, these taste good. Give me another one."
Yeah.
Next
seven
thing
of
I know,
them.
I'm like,
"I remember."
I don't remember.
See, Mutt, you probably wouldn't have been able to tell the difference.
No. Oh, actually,
just out of it, like any other day,
you found it.
Tell
but
the
if you can believe it, we have audio from that show.
Oh, what about the whole, you know, the whole, whatchamacallit, the whole, whatchamacallit, you know, you know, the whole, whatchamacallit. The last series of the game.
Hey, you were blitz, buddy.
Sometimes I'd say my favorite hour of the week is OMF 5 o'clock on Fridays when Christian cracks open that glass of wine. Question. It's good to go. How about that poor Jugs machine throwing a Nikhil Harry?
Oh my God!
It's a Gatling gun.
Can you catch the ball?
Yeah. The Jugs
machine. I'm a computer. I'm a machine. Catch the ball.
The machine like, is
of course
like
he is right
on
now.
Him.
He's like, what the hell are you doing? Give me a different receiver.
Those comments from Nikhil Harry sound like just like a driven athlete just looking to excel.
Well, the video games sound fun.
Oh,
and
my God.
The Jimmy's opening up. I mean, how do you take Scottsdale, that guy? How do they take you in the first round? I want that Jugs machine. I want to hear that. We'll talk quarterbacks and Nikhil Harry because I'm very worried about him based on Curran's comments last week and now on the Nikhil Harry story in the Globe. And we'll start with the quarterbacks. And the Patriots are just like us. I'll explain in a couple of minutes as Lou is vomiting
dying
over there.
Vomiting. You okay,
what a fun.
Right.
You spray down after you get out of here.
Spray it down.
Spray down.
Holy smokes. All over
I took
thing.
A sip of water, went down the wrong way.
Hang in there with Monday Night coming up next. If you missed any of OMF, don't forget, you can listen on demand on the free radio.com app. Just text app to 37937. Christian and I will be here tomorrow. Hopefully Lou is fine, and he will be here tomorrow. We'll do it at 2 o'clock. Okay? We're out of here. Stay safe out there. Is it time to walk away? I done.